The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa
and Rosemary Gazy.
In the headlines, organized labor withdraws threat to embark on nationwide strike as government absorbs 25% increase in utility tariffs. Government assures Ghanaians of institutional reforms to fight corruption. Ghana joins international community to mark Armistice Day. And Iran says sectarian violence between Shia and Sunni Muslims threatens world security. First, a summary with Rosemary Gazy.
Organized labor has withdrawn its threat to embark on a nationwide strike due to government's agreement to absorb 25% out of the initial 78.9% increase in utility tariffs. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the Secretary General of the TUC, Kofi Asamoah, said the decision is as a result of negotiations held between government and the leadership of organized labor to examine the effects of the increase in the utility tariffs on workers. Government has assured Ghanaians of institutional reforms to fight corruption. A Deputy Minister of Information and Media Relations, Felix Kwachiofusu, said the setting up of the sole commissioner on judgment debt and the introduction of the code of conduct for ministers and other government appointees are indications that government is determined to deal with corruption. Ghana today joins the international community to mark Armistice Day. A two-minute silence will be observed later in the day to observe this year's Remembrance Day, marking the end of the hostilities of world wars. And Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif says sectarian tension between Shia and Sunni Muslims is a threat to world security. Mr. Zarif blamed some Sunni countries for what he described as fear-mongering.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel, and more.
The news in detail. Government says it will absorb 25% of the 78.9% increase of the utility tariffs. This is from 78.9% to 59.18%, which took effect from the 1st of last month. A statement signed by a Deputy Information Minister, Felix Kwachiofusu, that since the PURC has already gazetted the 78.9% increase in the electricity tariff, government will absorb the difference as agreed with the social partners. We bring you more.
The statement said a full cost recovery for electricity is expected to be achieved within 9 months from October 2013 to June 2014. It said the PURC is encouraged to implement the automatic tariff adjustment formula starting from January next year. According to the statement, the action by government will translate into a subsidy of more than 400 million Ghana cedis to be paid to the utility companies light crude oil. It said the PURC would, in such circumstances, factor these changes into any adjustments made in future under the automatic adjustment formula. The move follows a review of the report of the technical committee set up by government to look into the tariff increase in consultation with social partners, including the Ghana Employers Association, the Association of Ghana Industries, Ghana Chamber of Commerce, and Organized Labour, led by the TUC.
Now the news desk report.
The Secretary General of the TUC, Kofi Asamoah, has confirmed government's decision to absorb 25% of the utility tariffs as negotiated. He said the negotiation was called at the instance of captains of industry and other stakeholders to examine the effects of the increase in the utility tariffs. Mr. Asamoah explained what he went into government decision to absorb the 25% difference. He said organized labor would have preferred a further lower rate than this. He spoke to George Ankra.
Let me state that at the instance of the captains of industry, that is the Ghana Employers Association, Ghana Association of Ghana Industries, and the Chamber of Commerce, a meeting was called, government and organized labor, to try to resolve the what can be said to be a dispute or the differences. And when we got to the meeting, it got clear to us that the 78.9 that the public, the PRC had been talking about, is just part of 120 outstanding power costs that needed to be recovered, which means then that after the 78.9, next year, PRC will come in back with the difference between the 120 and then the 78.9. So now, whilst we were complaining on the starting point of 78.9, the arguments were, so what should be the starting point? And then after some lengthy discussions, the meeting agreed that it should be 58.9. We had wanted a lower starting point. A lower starting point in the sense that we started talking about a third of it. And then at the end of the day, we came to 50% out of the 78.9. But then industry explained that they are willing to pay a little higher as against paying more in next year for a full recovery. So the point was that was what was agreed. We would have wished to have a lower one. But then the understanding is that if you get lower than 58.9, what it means is that what the difference is would have to be put in place for full recovery next year, and also what it means to government. So this is the conclusions that was reached. We have communicated it to the leadership of organized labor as at last Friday. So I'm saying that was the conclusion. Generally, what it means is that what is ahead of us, what is supposed to be paid by consumers and industry is not only 78.9, but then full recovery is 120%. So the meeting agreed that we should have a starting point, which we agreed in 58.9. Then within 9 months from now to June next year, the remainder of our 60.1 would have to be recovered in addition to the automatic adjustment formula, which would have to be put in place come January, which means then that January, the PRC is encouraged to put in place an automatic adjustment formula. And every month, the automatic adjustment formula will work depending on what the indicators are from January to June, and alongside the balance of 68.1, which will lead to the full recovery arrangement put in place.
If you want to be candid, what brought about this problem? Is it not because the automatic adjustment was not in full glow from time immemorial? If it had been done, would this brouhaha not have been avoided?
Yeah, that has been the argument all along. Our argument has been that what we agreed on the automatic adjustment formula were to have been put in place, perhaps wouldn't have gotten to this level. It wasn't done. And that is why all along we're saying that we cannot go with the 78.9 at a go. What I explained it to mean that the PRC, the 78.9 is not the only, they still had the difference of 120 and 78.9 to put in place early next year. So yes, I agree with you that it is the stoppage of the automatic adjustment formula it has brought us this far. And we strongly believe that in the PRC is encouraged to put in place that automatic adjustment come early next year, nothing will be done to sort of stop its operation. Now that government has finally agreed to subsidize the cost of electricity until full cost recovery is achieved, the question that was between us was the starting point. And the starting point is what has been brought to 59.8. Let me state further that yes, it is still high. We would have loved to have something lower than 58.9. But given the new dimension that the arrangement is directed towards full recovery, which means then that whatever we agreed on will leave us with a balance of the difference between that figure and 120 for next year. So that is what led to the social partners agreeing that it should be staggered to June to be able to do the full recovery.
Mr. Samoa, does that put to rest the threat to strike on the 18th of this month?
Yes, we've spoken. We made a decision. Organized labor made a decision last Friday that in view of the reduction by 25%. And like I told you, we had wanted some lower than the 25%. I mean, something higher than the 25% to be reduced. But like I explained, whatever is reduced now, the balance will have to be paid early next year. So on the basis of that, we called off all the planned nationwide demonstrations and the one-day strike scheduled for 18th November 2020.
Mr. Asamoa asked government to go further to deal with people who are involved in corruption and siphoning of huge sums of monies from the state to serve as a deterrent to others. He also called on the service providers to give Ghanaians efficient service to encourage people to pay for the service they receive.
The president of the Federation of Labour, Abraham Kumsen, has expressed joy that government has accepted to absorb 25% of the increase in utility tariffs. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Kumsen commended government for the intervention, saying it demonstrates that the NDC is following its principles as a social democratic government.
We were against the threats of embarking on that strike action, and we still feel that it wasn't necessary for that threat to be issued. And the government is done well. I mean, by the public outcry was such that they have to intervene. So we are okay with it. And we are very happy with the position of government now. And we felt the threat was uncalled for. And we're very happy with what government has done. And we'll go with it.
This bill will also add up to government expenditure bill. Is that not also another economic problem?
No, look at the public outcry. What do you do? It's not the TVC's threat. It's not about the threat, but it's about the well-being of your people. And so wherever they can source some funds to mitigate these hardships, I think that is the responsibility of government. I don't think that it's because of the threat, that empty threat that was issued out there. And we have to express our gratitude to government for the action that they are taking now. I think that it wasn't easy for government to take that position. They will have to look for some money somewhere to make sure that people do not suffer too much about it. And I don't believe in threat, especially when, as workers, we know that it was not going to be very easy for government to make that intervention, because if salaries and wages alone would take 70% of revenue accrued to the state, I think that it was not easy at all for government, and we are too happy about it. And this demonstrates that this government is in to ensure that the social democratic principle is upheld.
Abraham Kumsen is the president of the Federation of Labour.
A deputy minister of Information and Media Relations, Felix Kwachiofusu, says institutional reforms are critical if the fight against corruption is to be won. He said government is determined to fight corruption, hence the setting up of the sole commissioner on judgment debt, the code of conduct for ministers and other government appointees. Mr. Kwachiofusu, who stated this on GTV's current affairs program Talking Point, corrected the perception that the president set up another committee to look into the JEDA report after the first committee presented it.
Okay. Well, it said nobody in the government sees that it had set up another committee to review the work of the committee. President Mahama has a number of advisors. The committee of inquiry or initial committee presents a report to him. He only asked Mr. P.V. Obinna, who is a senior advisor, to look at the recommendations made by the committee and advise him on what steps to take. But the president has to take action on the recommendations that are made.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with asking an experienced hand like Mr. P.V. Obinna to advise you on what steps to take. Mind you, that the issues around it, were not just about allegations of people stealing money. There were whole institutional weaknesses that had to be identified. So in coming out with a white paper, or what we call an action paper, it was necessary to ensure that you had done all the necessary checks, the background work, in order that when you come out in a manner that resolves the problem. So what she was recommended was that you needed institutional reform. That necessarily was not captured in the report of the committee. Indeed, there were deficiencies in the work of the committee. They could not lay hands on some contracts that were signed between 2006 and 2008. There was an issue of the drafting of a JEDA bill. How do you do that? There was a need to advise the president on that. So that is the work that Mr. P.V. Obinna did. They did not in any way alter the report as it was presented. They merely, but unfortunately, the media went on a frenzy and claimed that another committee had been set up to review the work of the committee. That's why I have cautioned the media to be mindful and circumspect about what they put out, so that they don't reinforce perceptions that may not necessarily be grounded in facts or reality.
Deputy Minister of Information and Media Relations Felix Kwachiofusu, the Vice President of Imani Ghana, Kofi Bento, defined corruption as a price a nation pays if government fails to provide an effective system to fight greed. He said it is not enough to use the judicial system alone to fight corruption, saying political leadership should exhibit strong will.
The spate of corruption afflicting the Ghanaian economy continues to attract concerns. The latest to add his voice to calls on government to tackle the simmering canker head-on is the Anglican Bishop of Accra, Right Reverend Dr. Daniel Mensah-Tortu, speaking at a church service at the St. Paul's Anglican Church to launch activities marking the first anniversary of his enthronement, which coincides with the relaunch of the website for the Anglican Diocese. Reverend Dr. Mensah-Tortu said corruption does not prevail in the public service alone, but the private sector as well. There is therefore the need to tackle the menace once and for all. We bring you Justice Mingle's report.
Upon enthronement, Right Reverend Dr. Mensah-Tortu launched the Anglican Development Summit, a platform which enabled stakeholders to plan their activities for the year and project into the future. During an introspection, Reverend Dr. Tortu said the whole plan is on course.
Within a short period of 1 year,
God has been so good to us, and everybody has come on board. This is one thing that I've liked. Everybody has come on board, and it's a very good start. It's our prayer that this support will continue to not just end it. People will come on board, and all of us together will try and build a church of God, especially the American church in Ghana. We have a website. This is not the first one. We have a website, but we receive a lot of complaints about the nature of our website. So the communication team sat down to realize that, okay, the website that we have is not up to standard. So they have come up with a new website. That's why today we are launching that new website so that people will know what we are doing.
Reverend Dr. Toto emphasized the need for Ghanaians to eschew corruption since it draws the nation back. According to him, the entire society is guilty of the canker.
Many things have gone on, many things are going on. I want to play before those in authority in our land that wherever they are, it is God who has placed them there. And they are there to take care of the needs of the people and not to enrich themselves. We should all try to help each other. We should be a brother's keeper. We should do things that will bring love and unity among us. A massive wealth is but nothing. It leads to destruction of life. Now let us try, all of us, to erase corruption in our society.
With the approach of Christmas, Bishop Toto took the opportunity to counsel drivers to be cautious on the road to save precious lives.
They shouldn't think about against the money they will get so that they will speed on the road to go and throw the people away or out and then come and take money. But they should be mindful of the love that they are carrying people's lives, and therefore they must be cautious on the road. Overtaking should be avoided.
He had a word of advice for Christians.
All Christians must pray hard, must live together in peace with their neighbors so that they will not have opportunity to distract us from our track as Christians. For we are going to give account of our stewardship one day when we are no more here on earth.
Bishop Toto hoped the relaunch of the church's website will enhance communication and information gathering within the Anglican society.
Justice Mingles report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Organized labor withdraws threat to embark on nationwide strike as government absorbs 25% increase in utility tariffs. Government assures Ghanaians of institutional reforms to fight corruption. Ghana joins international community to mark Armistice Day. And Iran says sectarian violence between Shia and Sunni Muslims threatens world security.
Moving on, President John Mahama has sent his condolences to the family of the late Harry Sawyer, elder statesman and former vice chairman of the NDC Council of Elders. A statement from Flagstaff House noted that Mr. Sawyer has paid his dues to Ghana, recalling his exemplary contributions as Minister of Transportation and Communication, Minister for Education, and member of the Council of State. It says the elder statesman lived a fulfilled life as a public servant and senior elder of the NDC. Mr. Harry Sawyer, a renowned quantity surveyor, politician, and a gas statesman, died last Friday, November 8, 2013, at the age of 87.
In active service, they go out in defense of the country and to preserve world peace. Some of them do not make it back to their families as they fall in battle. On November 11 each year, their fellow men and women in active service and those who had retired gather at cenotaphs in various countries to honor the great sacrifices of soldiers who fought in World War I and other conflicts globally. Ghana and the world community will go silent for 2 minutes later in the day to observe this year's Remembrance Day, marking the end of hostilities in the two world wars. Solemn parades, memorial services, and wreath-laying ceremonies are expected to be held to commemorate the event, especially as Ghanaian troops continue to be in active engagement in a number of countries as peacekeepers. Here is Rosemary Gazy with a write-up on Remembrance Day, also called Poppy Day.
To honor the memory of their compatriots who died in the line of duty, Remembrance Day, also referred to as Poppy Day or Armistice Day, is one global event observed to bring to the fore the sacrifices of members of the armed forces whose desire was to preserve world peace. Various literature on war history indicate that for the first time in 4 years of continuous war, precisely on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, the guns went silent on the Western Front. Another significance of this day was the signing of the armistice between Germany on one hand and the alliance of Britain, France and Russia on the other. Records have it that the day was specifically dedicated by King George on November 7, 1919 as a day to remember members of the armed forces who were killed in World War I. The first official Armistice Day was subsequently held on the grounds of Buckingham Palace on the morning of November 11, 1919, and this has set the trend for a day of remembrance for decades. The red remembrance poppy, which has become a familiar emblem of Remembrance Day, has been traced to the poem In Flanders Field, which was said to be written by a Canadian military doctor and artillery commander, Major John McCrae. It was in honor of a fellow Canadian artillery officer, Lieutenant Alexis Helmer, who was killed on May 2, 1915. Part of the poem, In Flanders Field, reads, In Flanders Field, the poppies blow, between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks, so bravely swinging, fly, scars head amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, laughed, and were loved. And now, we lie in Flanders Field. While the Flanders Field poem captures the great sacrifices of the uniformed men and women decades ago, let's also pause and reflect on the words of Kerry Ashworth, whose son James was killed in Afghanistan last year and was posthumously awarded the Victoria Cross for bravery. At a London Remembrance Sunday service, she was reported to have said, "The job that they do is so hard and so tough, and when they lose their life, it's just one little thing that you can do, just remember them for a few minutes." As Ghana observes yet another Remembrance Day for her gallant men and women, the part Ghanaians could play is perhaps to pray for world peace. But until peace is attained, it is only proper to continue to observe the annual Poppy Day with the sounding of the last post. Followed by the period of silence and the sounding of the rouse, often mistakenly referred to as rival. This gives meaning to our forebears' ultimate sacrifice in the world wars, the fight for independence, conflicts in Ghana, and in peacekeeping operations worldwide. This is Rosie Daisy in Accra.
A Minister of State at the Presidency in charge of development authorities, Major Retired Dr. Mustafa Ahmed, says the government of Ghana and Togo are working hand in hand to remove bottlenecks that restrict movement of their people in and out of the two countries. He noted that the people of Ghana and Togo are one people and it is improper for political boundaries to divide them. He said if these artificial barriers are removed, it will enhance trade among the two countries. Major Retired Dr. Ahmed said this at Gledigbogambe in the Hohoi municipality during the 5th Dolotu Novisi Festival of the Chiefs and People of Bato and Gledi in Ghana and Kwele Tutu in Togo. Maclean Noji has filed this report.
The Davlotu Novisi Festival was instituted in 2005. It is a reunion of the three ancestral kinsmen of Bato, Gledi in Ghana and Peletutu in Togo, who migrated together from the Great Walls of Nochi during the tyranny reign of King Agokoli in the Republic of Togo before finally settling at their current locations. The celebration was intended to foster unity among the people and to pull both their human and material resources towards the socio-economic development of these three ancestral kinsmen and women in Ghana and Togo. This year's celebration was themed Festivals, Socio-Cultural Ties and Economic Development. A Minister of State and the Presidency in Charge of Development Authorities, Major Retired Dr. Mustafa Ahmed, decried the increase in land-related disputes in the country and advised traditional rulers to put in place strategic measures to curb the menace. He charged the Hohoi Municipal and the Afajatu South District Assemblies to ensure proper demarcation of their district boundaries. The Deputy Minister for Environment, Science and Natural Resources and MP for the area, Dr. Mrs. Bernice Adikohelu, commended the people of Gledi and its environs for conserving and managing the vegetation cover of the area against bushfires and unlawful felling of trees. She used the occasion to launch a tree planting campaign in the area. In a speech read on his behalf, the Volta Regional Minister Nilay Avotiago cautioned Ghanaians, particularly the youth, against what he termed the get-rich-quick attitude and noted that there is no shortcut to riches. He expressed worry about the increase in social vices among the youth and called on traditional authorities to collaborate with the church and government to curb the menace. The paramount chief of Bledi traditional area, Togbi Homatekpo, expressed worry about the poor nature of the road network in the area, which he noted is heavily affecting tourism and other economic activities.
Maclean Noji filed that report.
Under some foreign news, gunmen have killed two Egyptian soldiers in an attack on a military facility near the Suez Canal city of Ismailia. A third soldier was wounded in the attack on the base located on the road between Ismailia and the city of Zagazes to the west of the Nile Delta. Attacks on the security forces have become common since President Mohamed Morsi was removed from power by the army on the 3rd July following mass protests against his rule.
The Vietnamese National Weather Forecast Agency says Typhoon Haiyan has made landfall in the northern province of Quang Ninh. The storm is reported to be moving towards southern China, where it is expected to weaken to a low depression later today. Officials from the agency say 170,000 households have been evacuated and no casualties or major damage have been reported. All schools have been shut down in the capital and extra police have been dispatched to redirect traffic in flood-prone areas.
The head of the Red Cross in the Philippines has described the devastation caused by Typhoon Haiyan as the absolute confusion. Up to 10,000 people are believed to have died in Tacloban City and hundreds elsewhere. Hundreds of thousands of people are displaced. The typhoon flattened homes, schools and an airport.
Football. The week 11 fixtures of the ongoing National Premier League ended at the various league centres yesterday, with league leaders Kumasi Santo Kotoko dropping valuable points as they were stunned by Ashanti Gold by 2-0 at the Obuasi Lenclay Sports Stadium. Kotoko, who started off well in the early minutes of the game, were handed a hard nut to crack after striker Emmanuel Osei got the surprising opener for the homesters before the game went for a recess. The Miners returned strongly in the second half and dictated the rhythm of the game, which eventually yielded them a second goal through midfielder Latif Mohamed. Though the Miners had secured all the 3 points, Kotoko are still on top of the league table with 24 points, just a point adrift second place Accra Hearts of Oak, who also beat Amidals Professionals by a lone goal to pick all 3 points at the Tema Park. A second-minute goal from Ozu Bempa kept the Premiership title chase alive for the Fabians. In other results, Kumasi, King Faisal 3, New Edubiasi 1, Brikum Chelsea 1, Bechem United 0, Amidals 0, Hearts 1, Mbeki Professionals 0, Inter Allies 1, Hearts of Lions 0, Hazakas 1, and the Dusua Drops 0, All Stars 1. On Saturday, Mediama SC beat Adriana Stars by 1-0.
Now to end the news, the main points again. Organized labor has withdrawn its threat to embark on a nationwide strike due to government's agreement to absorb 25% out of the initial 78.9% increase in utility tariffs. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the Secretary General of the TUC, Kofi Asomua, said the decision is as a result of negotiation between government and the leadership of organized labor to examine the effects of the increase in the utility tariffs on workers. Government has assured Ghanaians of institutional reforms to fight corruption. A Deputy Minister of Information and Media Relations, Felix Kwasiofusu, said the setting up of the sole Commissioner on Judgment Debt and the introduction of the Code of Conduct for Ministers and other government appointees are indications that government is determined to deal with corruption. Ghana will today join the international community to mark Armistice Day. A 2-minute silence will be observed later in the day to mark this year's Remembrance Day, marking the end of the hostilities of world wars. And Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif says sectarian tension between Shia and Sunni Muslims is a threat to world security. The news was presented by Rosemary Gazi
and Samuel Essa in Accra.